Welcome, everyone. My name is Scott Shepherd. I'm founder and CEO of the City's First podcast, and we are very pleased and honored to kick off the new year, a new season of the City's First. I believe this is season four now, 3 years running, fourth season, 2025, with our esteemed guest, Jamie Tesler in Boston. Hi, Jamie. How are you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing great. Thanks, Scott, and appreciate the chance to be here.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. I know we've been chatting for about a year or two now, but we finally made it happen. So, really pleased to do the recording and kind of share your thoughts and wisdom with the our audience here. So, we'll get started. Everyone knows our kind of format and theme. We'll kick it off with your bio, and then we'll go through kind of a round of questions, a little conversation. We'll let everyone know where we can find you on social media. And then we'll kind of talk about next steps and everything. So with that, I will kick things off here. So I have my notes. This is the short bio, by the way, so I'm gonna have to talk pretty fast here. Jamie Tesler is currently the executive director of Mass Mobility Hub, a public benefit corporation with a mission to support the mobility sector and looking to build community, support companies in their growth, and accelerate change in the sector. Jamie's also a visiting fellow at the Taubman Center for State and Local Government at Harvard University Kennedy Center School of Government. Previously, Jamie served as secretary and CEO of MassDOT, where he was responsible for a fully multimodal state transportation department, oversaw the leadership of MBTA, and served on the board of the Massachusetts Port Authority. Jamie had previously served as registrar of the Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles in June 2020, after serving in the role on an interim basis since June 2019. Jamie also previously worked for more than 20 years in senior management roles in public sector, with experience in infrastructure, transit, sustainability, mobility, public finance, and public policy. Jamie has also served as general counsel to the Office of the Massachusetts State Treasurer and Receiver General, deputy legal counsel in the Office of the Governor, deputy general counsel for MBTA, acting chief of staff for the Secretary of Transportation, and COO of MassDOT. So that was the short bio anyway, but super impressive. Very happy to have you, Jamie. And let's kick things off and get started. And again, Jamie, feel free to kind of hijack any of my questions or kind of fit them to your liking and everything, but we'll just kind of go through the general format and take it from there. So the first question or theme I'd like to pose to you is, what are the latest mobility innovations to emerge in Boston and the hub, quote unquote?
Thanks, Scott, and thanks again for the chance to be here. The first thing I think, which I'm sure you and your listeners and we've discussed this, we are in a long-term significant change mode in the mobility and transportation sectors we think about it. And that's because of the significant influence and investments we're seeing in both the United States and other places in the world around climate tech that's driving some change in our cities. And there now are additional dollars that are coming in from a different direction around things that would be labeled as either AI or automation. And we're seeing these combined forces driving some of the most profound innovations we've really seen in mobility in a very long time. To get to the more sort of detailed things, I'd like to kind of frame it in a couple different categories, and then we can dig in. And this is both, what we see here, regionally to a degree, but these are also companies that are working worldwide, and we see in even some larger degrees in other places in the world. So I'll break it into what I think of the five key categories of mobility innovation right now. Form. So we had a very stable form factor as we think about mobility, whether you're you're somebody who drives a car or you travel by transit and trains and buses, or even if you think about the aviation sector. These have been very, very stable for some time. As you work on and know with a lot of expertise, we are seeing really different things and new forms on both micromobility, e-bike that are profound. We can come back and really dig into that. What I'll think of as a sort of second zone, and these overlap. These are not perfectly separate, but I think they're important to think about differently. So we're seeing changes in innovation in the form factor of how we move. Operator, which in simple terms, if you are in a Waymo city right now, you know what that means. And also when we think about just different ways that automation is happening, who is the operator? Is there an operator? Is a significant change in how we move and how goods move, people and goods move right now. The fuel source, as everybody is well aware of who listens, and this has been a major point of emphasis, but it's a sort of third zone of change that's significant is electrification and other fuel sources that change the motive power for how we get around, whether it's on a bike or whether it's on a train or whether it's even on a boat or a car. Our fuel sources are changing. One of the things that I think is underestimated, but I think is going to be one of the more profound changes of our built environment in cities, is the materials that are the core to a city. Pavement, cement, concrete, steel, these all, and each of I just listed, I know innovative companies who are looking at profoundly changing those materials. And if the materials that we built our environment, our cities change, that has profound impacts on both how we move, where we move, and how we build spaces and places in our cities. And I think that's an underestimated but significant trend, particularly here in Boston. We have wonderful companies who are doing really innovative things that we can dig into there. The last zone is really how we use data to think about how we build, how we move, and how we use all the different things I said above. Obviously, large language models and AI is driving some of that, but there's a lot of other things that we're seeing. So that's a lot, but I wanted to frame a lot of where I think we'll get to in this conversation by thinking of those different zones of innovation.
It's interesting, yeah, those different zones of innovation are kind of taking this mobility paradigm forward. Just really briefly, we went through a period of kind of peak hype cycle, kind of the valley of death, and all these different things that have been emerging before, during, and after the pandemic. And 2025 is becoming a very interesting year in this front. The VC, landscape has obviously changed. 2023 was a bit tricky, and 2024, it'll be interesting to see kind of the financial aspect of these different zones of innovation as new entrants kind of and ventures kind of emerge on the horizon and in this kind of domain versus kind of these multiple rounds of micro mobility, shared mobility, and these different kind of let's say trends that we have noticed. So I think that. For me personally, I have, let's say, measured optimism, but it's been quite a roller coaster the last 2 years, shall we say? Certainly in
I think
2023
that
with the
that's.
VC winter. So, I'm holding out for, let's say, what comes down the pass.
I'm with you, but I think for the companies that I talk to and the municipal leaders and stakeholders, I think it's important always because we're always too close to the moment, and some of the challenges you mentioned are quite real. Is to use the proverbial phrase, I think it's really important to distinguish between weather and climate. And so, if you look at some of those trends that we've all experienced over a long period of time, the change cycle is really clear and it's still coming. On a day-to-day basis, it's just like the weather, it's going to change and there will be some challenges. We've had some. But I think that the trend long term is still positive, and I think the opportunities are as clear as ever. I think it's important also to think about some of those different things that are happening, right? We've seen the ebbs and flows and the capital ebbs and flows, as you mentioned, in some of these different subsectors or subzones, as I describe them. There was a time when AV was extraordinarily high, then it was low. We saw the ebb and flow in San Francisco of Cruise and Waymo. It's always hard to project where things will be from a year from now versus where they were a year ago. And so I think it's really important to just keep some distance and that measured optimism you mentioned.
Yeah, I'm probably a little too close to it. I think that's a
Yeah.
good a word to the wise. Tracking every single different story, but yeah, if you look at like the 10-year horizon, it's definitely a positive trajectory. I totally agree with that.
It really is hard to see that, and it doesn't mean that there
Forest
will
for the
not be,
trees.
and there also won't be real challenges and disappointments ahead. But I think if you can weather through that, there, a lot of these just are too profound influence and trends that are pulling us in a direction that I think is really positive.
Indeed. Okay, so let's move on to kind of our next topic or question. We might have to move a few of these around depending on the time we have available. In your opinion, how can cities pilot new mobility tech at scale?
And this is a key question, and one of the reasons why we have created the organization you mentioned called the Mass Mobility Hub. Just the core of the question, it's really important that cities find ways to demonstrate and pilot new mobility tech. I think one thing we you and I share is a profound belief that mobility tech is experiential, that just seeing, using, being able to experience something profoundly changes your trust in it, your belief in it, and you're willing to continue to use it. And so step one is, I work with and very strongly preach that methodology that if you want a regulator to approve something, they actually have to see and use it. And we have to find both ways with our legal systems, with our built environment to find appropriate places to do really simple pilots. Two, I come from, from some of the things we learned in the public sector when I was there is to use methods like Agile Scrum or other, process methods that break things down to the most simple building blocks. And I believe that too about getting things to scale with pilots. So, and I used to be a regulator. So if you ask me, can I do something for a weekend? Is a different question than can I do it forever? Can I have 500 vehicles or 500, e-bikes or five, whatever the question is? If you ask me a all or nothing question, you might get nothing. If you ask for a very short duration pilot with an opportunity to measure, learn, stop, reassess, then it's an easier question. And I think both on the public and private side, we need to begin to think about your word scaling, the same way we think about software buildouts and other systems buildout on the private sector, which is a step forward, pause, reflect, innovate, and move. And that's what we really kind of are working. That's what we're working on a lot.
Yeah, well, we need to be more, in my opinion, these are not facts, these are opinions. You shared yours, mine is, but I'm in agreement with you, is that we need to be more prescriptive and outcomes based in terms of what we want to test, what we want to try, and what we want to deploy, that we're actually solving problems so that we kind of avoid the mistakes that I believe, again, in my opinion, a lot of cities made circa 2017, 2018, around this peak hype around mobility, where they were just quote unquote testing things out or just ingesting data and seeing what interesting results will come. I don't want to name any cities or any actors in this, but I think we kind of know what I'm alluding to. I'll just leave it at that. And why I share that is because that is problematic in itself. One, it exposes you as a lawyer to legal challenges constitutionally. And two, it also reduces the trust of the general public and citizens towards the role of government in what they are serving and the value that they're bringing related to kind of the management of the built environment, public spaces, and introducing new modalities. So that, in my opinion, we don't treat citizens as beta testers unknowingly, but they're giving an opportunity to lean in and actually see the value of this kind of participatory, pilot cycle.
So one thing that we've done, Scott, to just to really expand on that point, because I feel very strongly about that, is, and from my experience having been on the regulatory side and on the decision maker side, asked sometimes to approve or not approve of the very same things you're just discussing, and have learned some of those hard lessons. One of the things that the Mass Mobility Hub has done, and I think is a method that we really want to pursue, both in the Massachusetts region, but I think is important worldwide, is to actually work regionally and including with private partners. So right now here in Massachusetts, we have a private site with a large private real estate partner where we've access to places we can do some purely private site test demonstration and learning exercises, and to see that as a step towards actually trying things in the built environment in the public side. And we did that for the very reason that you express, which is we really need to think about things in an iterative and a learning fashion. And I think that one of the things missing in the fabric here to get to full scale city pilots is that first step, which is let's just do it on a private site. So, you know, we're thinking about that. I mentioned a lot of things that are happening in the materials sector. Well, you know, having private parking lots and parking garages and built and private roads where you can experiment with some things and do durability testing is an easier question than asking the public sector to put into a bid spec and procure it overnight. You know, same things on vehicle and sensors and other technology that we're thinking about. So we see that as part of the, you know, how you get into cities. Well, first you need a place where you can see it. Maybe just bring some elected officials, some regulators to take some measurements, take some testing. It might not even be set up for months. It could just be a weekend. Depends what the technology and topic is. Do this very deliberately, step by step, and use what works in the private sector to build things and get them to scale, which is a real stepladder approach to trials and learning.
Yeah, it has to be incremental and using specific sites that, let's say, are easily manageable and can be used as kind of a test bed for these types of innovations is obviously kind of a first step in this process versus kind of jumping right into kind of a real world environment. So that's definitely good advice and food for thought. Let's get back to kind of just mass mobility hub in general. And if you could tell us
Sure.
about your role there, as well as kind of your recent accomplishments at the hub and just the emerging ecosystem of different public and private actors that are starting to kind of join this consortium.
Sure. So the Mass Mobility Hub is we just you know celebrated being a year old. It is a public benefit corporation. So we are, you know, functionally the same as a nonprofit, but in Massachusetts, you can do a mission-driven, not-for-profit corporation. So we have some of the flexibility going forward of a corporation with the same intent as a nonprofit. We are following a model that has actually worked extraordinarily well for our ecosystem here in Massachusetts. In other sectors. So we have a real world-class life sciences sector. And there's an organization called Lab Central that was built to help the scale and grow the ecosystem there. We have a really fantastic robotics hub that has many different companies doing wonderful things in the robotics side. We have Greentown Labs, which in the climate tech sector is really one of the densest and largest if not the largest ecosystem builders and host sites for companies in that sector. And for a few years, people wanted to do something more specific who have helped to launch those other organizations in the mobility sector for reasons we already covered, knowing that there is an opportunity here and knowing that we have strong and good companies already here in Massachusetts. And we took that step over a year ago to create this organization. A board came together with experience creating organizations like this, and with some transportation experience. And then I signed up to be the founding executive director. The things that we've been able to really focus on and accomplish is, most importantly, the belief that community really matters. And that's in two respects. One, founders and startups, it is a 24/7, can be a challenging, lonely exercise. And I've learned that building a new organization myself. And so finding peers or near peers who are doing similar things, but not competitive things, can really change your experience because you feel supported, you have people to go to. And so just finding ways to build and to bring people together in community. It's also really important for the larger community that's involved in other areas to know some of the things we're talking about that are going on. And the last thing I just really want to touch on is a couple sort of areas that we see here in New England that we, I think, have extraordinary companies that are doing some great things. We have a lot of history in and have done some and have a lot of great companies in the battery sector. And we built a battery working group to drill into and do some of the things that I mentioned about community building and to help each other with overall needs in that sector. I've mentioned a few times materials. And with our really great university sector and material engineers, we are seeing great companies spin out with the goal of doing things in sustainability that change our cities and our built environment. We have wonderful companies that are doing things that cross into data and AI and telematics. We also have some really cool companies that are doing things that range from, cargo bike share to changing the way we think about, maritime transportation, and companies that are doing all kinds of things to think about how we build and deliver construction projects differently. So lots of different things. Extraordinarily rewarding for me to get to spend all this time with wonderful founders and inventors.
Yeah, congratulations on the role and the success of the organization. Just kind of a follow-up to this just came to mind is we talked about kind of these stakeholders, these different companies that are joining the ecosystem in this consortium. But what about kind of the role of local municipalities like City of Boston, Michelle Wu's administration, as well as maybe universities such as MIT Mobility Lab, Harvard, et cetera, et cetera. And, what has been up until now or, going forward, you see their role or contribution.
So we're blessed to have John, who leads Amal Banzadeh, who is executive director of the MIT Mobility Initiative, is one of our founding board members. So we've really had those, strong university partnerships from day one. It's part of what is exciting about bringing public, private, and academic groups together to build an organization like this and the model that works. We're also really fortunate. You mentioned Mayor Wu, and I'd also mentioned the Governor Healey and the Healey administration. They have really focused on two things to lead our economy forward here in Massachusetts. And they won't surprise you from some of the themes that I've been mentioning. We already have a really, we have a wonderful life sciences sector, and obviously they're focused on continuing to grow that. But the two other economic priorities for both for our leaders is how we focus on functional AI and how that's deployed and used here to grow our business and ecosystem, and climate tech. And again, I believe very strongly that mobility is at the heart of those two in the Venn diagram where they intersect. And so we've been really fortunate to have really strong leadership in our state, and the last thing I'd mentioned in our city, in our region. And the last thing I'd mention too is that what came together is an economic development bill passed just last month, was signed into law and at the end of the year of 2024. And that is going to put $100 million into the AI sector. And it's also going to put over $400 million into climate tech companies. And so we're really excited to have built out both a test site that I mentioned and a partnership that can bring in some of these tests and opportunities and to build our network, because we think what we're focused on, the companies we work with, are going to really be in a great place to take advantage of those public resources and to expand the sector here and have worldwide impact.
Yeah, and your charge is going to be well beyond mobility too, it sounds like. Not to say that you'll have to rename the organization, but you're really kind of very strong ambitions for the future, and I believe that you currently are and will be able to succeed in that. Certainly related to AI and climate tech, but getting a little bit deeper back into mobility, kind of geeking out a bit on transit now. I have a new hook or a new question. Sorry, I'm a little curveball, but I'm just thinking about all your expertise at MBTA, Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, specifically MBTA around kind of timing and optimization and kind of the operational capital improvements that MBTA has been really focused on recently, coupled with grant funding from FTA, et cetera. And do you see now or in the future opportunities for Mass Mobility Hub and MBTA to kind of collaborate around the improvement of whether it be light rail, bus, or other modes of modality, Silver Line, et cetera, in Boston?
We do, and we obviously see you kind of hit it in your question. I mean, I think that one of the things that's really changing We continue to get better ways to optimize our use of data and see companies that are around that. I think those are going to have sort of three vectors, and see companies in each of these areas, and really excited about them. One is just really optimization of existing operations or going forward operations. And sadly, we live in a world where we do have a lot of event-driven disruptions and changes. I'm sure you are too, and I'm really mindful and sad about the horrible events in Los Angeles and California right now. And those are the days where our transit authorities need to, in our bus system, step up, provide evacuation and services. And we all thought a lot about that and continue to think about that in the operations world. And I think that's where you're going to see, and I know lots of people working on ways where we use these new tools and models to be able to react better or even proactively plan better, both our existing operations and services to customers, but also to be able to respond to events, whether it's in, Baltimore when a boat hits a bridge. Sadly, we live in a world where things happen, and our transit system on those days are most needed and important to help people. The other piece you touched on, and I think is an equal interest of mine, is how do we deliver projects? We are going to need to get better and continue to deliver faster and better, and more affordably, maintenance and innovation and construction, if we're going to really continue the mode shift we need to succeed in the climate environment we're in. And I see lots of companies with wonderful ideas. And wonderful ideas that are going to impact whether, the highway side or the public transit side. But really think about how we can build better and smarter. We're beginning to see that the IRA and the IIJA have unleashed a lot of dollars. And that large capital investment we're seeing here in the US that's, now being felt, has really stimulated some of the better thinkers and innovators to see how we build things to be a place to invest and change. And as you know well, and I think unfortunately, it hasn't been the place where we've innovated and changed a lot over the last 50 years.
Yeah, but this the kind of stimulus funding, kind of Keynesian economics is what we would call it, the demand side, really has, at least for public transit, been a blessing. Maybe not solving all the operational problems, but from a capital CapEx capital investment, all the expansion of the different bus rapid transit lines, et cetera. Veronica Vanterpool, one of our previous guests on the City's First podcast, spoke about that a few months ago, and she's been traveling around the country last few years at ribbon cuttings, et cetera. So it's just astounding what has been happening on that front. So let's hope that that continues, and Mass Mobility Hub will certainly support that, it sounds like.
So for your listeners, and we'll as you mentioned, the geek out, I'll do the one reference people can look up online if they don't know, is I'd encourage people. There's this really important study, 2023. I think it's Austin Goolsbee, University of Chicago, and what it looked at is the productivity of the construction sector over a long period of time, basically 1950 to 2020, and from the late 60s on. Construction productivity in large projects in the United States has basically underperformed not just the economy overall, but has dipped below its original productivity at that point. So, a negative trend. What you mentioned, this infusion of dollars has the prospect of really bringing innovators in to help rethink how we do things. Dollars drives change. And so take a look at that for those who are really interested. There's great debates online as to why, but that would probably be another podcast we can't do today.
Yeah, we'll need another episode. Yeah, and then it kind of begs the question, probably running out of time for the last question here, but we'll just keep this open. Kind of begs the question of the use of dollars around, the IRA and everything, because are these investments really net gain in terms of reduction in carbon emissions and decarbonization, or are we continuing with kind of the state DOT level, highway expansion status quo, which we've seen many stories about, even in my home state of California and all that. So, it's yet to be seen. We've witnessed quite a bit of progress on this front, but it's kind of like sometimes 2 steps forward, 3 steps backwards until we see that long range change, or as you mentioned, the forest for the trees. So, it was certainly a positive, let's say, intervention on the part of the Biden administration. I fully credit them and the work that they've done, but it's been a bit of a muddled landscape, as you know, state by state. So that's just to kind of share that.
I would say you hit on one of the things, and I'll take the surprising view from the state DOT perspective, which I came from, which is I think one of the best things in outcomes long term is what Secretary Buttigieg has worked on, which is to try to stimulate more city level grants
Yeah,
and
devolve
support
it down.
yet to devolve it down. I think
Yes.
that's unleashed a lot of opportunities and change. I think that's a really important thing. A lot of my peers at the DOT level were not as enthusiastic, perhaps.
Status quo, right?
No, well, it just depends on your state and the system that works.
Yeah.
Fortunately,
It's state
Massachusetts,
by state.
our priorities and our alignment is really good with our cities, and so we were able to
Okay.
work really well. There's different and good reasons why that's a hard issue. But to put simply, I think that's a really important thing. I think it's been done very well. My thought for the future is we do really need to think about how we accelerate projects. If we're going to put more dollars into projects, we need to get better outcomes. And I know a lot of people put a lot of work into that. So if there ever, if there's, you know, if there's, you know, part 2.0 or forward, I would really encourage us to think about innovation, both in how we permit and accelerate the best kinds of projects, so that we're stimulating better outcomes on the projects that we care about. And I have a real bias towards, as you would guess from the things we're talking about, also continuing to think about stimulating, new technology and change. I'll leave this with, the provoking thought, which, a lot of what we depend on has been around for a long time, whether it's automobiles, the aviation industry, even, trains and transit. There hasn't been a lot of innovation, particularly in North America, for the types for a long period of time. But everything I mentioned actually stemmed from private innovation, car, the Wright brothers and aviation. Private innovators, different thinkers had to start and find new form factors. So I think you and I have a huge amount of enthusiasm for micro-mobility. And those are going to come from private ideas, not the public sector ideas. So I want our public sector leaders to, you mentioned, and it's a priority to find ways we scale pilots, but we also have to invest in and stimulate new ideas that are going to come from private people, which I mentioned the dollars here in Massachusetts. And I think that's really important. We have to let private people take risks. We have to have failure be okay. And all the things we depend on in the built environment to move us, there was a time when they were thought of as far-fetched ideas or unlikely to succeed.
Well said, well said. So those are kind of the final thoughts here. Thank you, Jamie. So maybe just 30 seconds, where can we find you on social media?
I'd encourage everybody to take a look at Mass Mobility Hub, MASS, mobilityhub.com. That's the website for our organization, and you can also find it on LinkedIn. Follow us on that page. You'll find me there too, Jamie Tesler. And we have lots of content, activities, things going forward. And although we're here in Massachusetts, our goal is to impact the things we care about around cities around the world. So whether it's formed or started here or just does business here, what we care about is global impact and driving change in the sector. So follow us on LinkedIn. It's the best place we get content. We have a newsletter you can get on the website, and we send out lots more content. And we'll be growing this brand new organization over the years to come. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Jamie, so much. It's been a real pleasure to have you here and share your thoughts on what's going on in Boston, state of Massachusetts, across the US and globally. So it's been very densely packed for a short time, and we'll definitely have to have you for a follow-up part two, hopefully in the near future. But thanks so much. And to all our audience, look for this episode to be posted shortly on the usual channels, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, et cetera. And we're going to be kicking off with this episode and others our season four of the Cities First here in 2025. But again, Jamie, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott. Great to join.